Good evening, gentlemen. We're doing a quick overview of what happened in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. So our story really begins 7 days before Yom Kippur, which means on Tzom Gedalia, right, this past Shabbat, Sunday. So the Kohen Gadol would leave his family and he would go over to Lishkat Paradrin. Down here, you have one room out here called Lishkat HaGazit, where the High Court's at. Okay? Here's the Holy of Holies. Here's the Kodesh. You walk outside the Kodesh, you have here the Ulam. You walk down the steps, you have the Mizbeach, the main altar. You go northward. What am I doing here? Okay, sorry. You go northward to the upper right corner, the northeast corner of the Bitami, of the Azara. And up here, you had one room called Lishkat HaGazit, the room where the High Court's at. And right next to it, you had the room called Lishkat Paredrin, the room for the officers. Parhedrin were officers that would switch every year, being that the Kohanim Gdolim would be switched every year because they would die every year. Because we're talking about the Second Temple period where people paid money to get the position. It was all about politics. So they didn't live out their years because they would go into the Holy of Holies and they would die. They wouldn't live out their years. Throughout the Second Temple period, the Kohanim Gdolim would die throughout the years. So they gave a nickname to this room, Lishkat Paredrin, the room for the officer, like it was a post, like a political post. It was a point to remind the Kohen Gadol, all the ones before you, they all died. Okay, you want to be Kohen Gadol? I hope you're worthy. Now, that the rabbis didn't have a choice because the kings used to kill anyone who spoke against them. So there was a lot of politics in the Second Temple era. And the Kohen Gadol would go up here, and he would leave his family, and for a week he would be preparing for the service of the Beit HaMikdash. They would prepare him a runner-up, and they would tell him, look, if something happens that you get disqualified, so we have a replacement for you. This was pressure. He saw his threat. He had replacement right there waiting for him. And every day they would bring him into the temple, and he would do much of the service of the day. He would sprinkle the blood of the morning sacrifice, the Korban Tamid. He would bring the Ktores. He would take the Ktores into this little altar in the holy, and he would offer it morning and night. He would fix the lamp, the wicks, and light the lamp. And he would bring, actually, the sacrifice of the day. He would bring all the limbs. Now, this was a prep, because on Yom Kippur, he would have to do all the korbanot all alone. So, at least throughout the 7 days, he brought the tamid, the steady sacrifice. Every morning, he brought that alone. Now, the rabbis would appoint for him elders, and these elders every day would review with him what he was going to do on Yom Kippur for 7 days. And they tell him, Master Kohen Gadol, why don't you read it in the text? Maybe you forgot it, or maybe you never learned it. That's how unlearned the Kohanim Gdolim were during the Second Temple period. They'd give him the text of the Torah and say, maybe you never learned it, why don't you read it? And then we show up tomorrow morning, the eve of Yom Kippur, and they bring the Kohen Gadol to the eastern gate, and they start bringing before him the cows that and the rams and the sheep, and reviewing with him, okay, you remember what you're going to do with the cow tomorrow, you remember what you do with the rams, you remember what you do with the sheep, and they'd review with him what he's going to do tomorrow. Okay, they'd give him as much as he wanted to eat and drink all 7 days. But tomorrow, as the day wore on, they tell him you can't eat too much because you're going to have to spend the night awake. The night of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol doesn't get to sleep. They didn't want him to have a discharge, a seminal discharge, and then disqualify him. He'd spend the night learning. And then they'd send him with two elders from the high court, and those two elders would take him up here to... It's a little confusing to see this upside down. One second. They would take him up here to Lishkat Beit Avtinas. Aliyat Beit Avtinas. There was a second layer room here where they would prepare the Ktores. And they'd review with him how he's going to do the Ktores. We're going to discuss that in a few minutes. And they'd make him promise, you're going to do the Ktores the way our tradition is. Because our tradition is that when he goes into the Holy of Holies, he puts down the pan with coals, and then he pours the Ktores on the pan. But he does not do like the Sadducees said to do, which is to put the Ktores on the coals before he entered the Holy of Holies. So they made a promise he would do things the way they taught him. And then that night, it's already Yom Kippur, he would spend the night giving a speech if he knew how. And if not, the rabbis would teach him. And if he wasn't worthy of a speech, so they'd sit and learn Tanakh with him. They'd learn with him the book of Job. They'd learn with him the book of Ezra. They'd teach him stories. If he's trying to fall asleep, they'd tell him, hey, come stand on the cold floor. You can't fall asleep now. Now, at midnight, they already get up and they start clearing the coals from the altar to prepare for the service of the day. Okay, they're waiting. Is it the crack of dawn? The Kohen's right-hand man tells the people there, go outside and tell me if it's time to slaughter the animal. They send the man out. He goes up to a tower. And if he sees there's enough light outside that it's time to bring the sacrifice, he calls down, Barkai. It's light. Barkai, from the word Hivrik. It's shining. And they'd ask him, is it lit all the way to Hebron? Do you see light coming out till Hebron? They want to mention the merit of our patriarchs who are buried in Hebron. If he says yes, then they'd go start doing the work of the day. And if not, they waited. Because one time, he said there's light, and he got confused. It was the light of the moon. It was still the middle of the night, and they had to burn the sacrifices. So they gave him a sign. They said, check that there's enough light that till Hebron. Okay. The Kohen is going to immerse the first time of the day. The Kohen is going to immerse himself five times, and every time he does it, he will wash his hands and feet before he goes down to mikveh, and wash his hands and feet after he comes out of the mikveh. He will dunk five times, and wash his hands and feet 10 times in the course of Yom Kippur. Remember, he's going to keep switching clothing. Whenever he goes into the Holy of Holies, he'll wear white clothing. Whenever he does service outside, he'll wear all his royal clothing. Okay. So they spread out a cloth curtain so that no one should see him. They spread out a cloth curtain so that no one should see him, so he'd have modesty. And he went down and dunked. And the cloth curtain was made of solid white to remind him today you're wearing white clothing. And now he's going to start the service of the day. What's the first thing he's going to do? Bring the sacrifices of the day, the Tamid Shel Shachar, the sacrifice that's brought every day. So he has to wear his regular royal clothing. So they brought him the clothing that have some gold in them, right? He has a gold head plate. He has a gold on his hoshen. So he wears his royal clothing. And they bring him the Tamid sacrifice. He's dunked. He's washed his hands and feet after wearing the clothing. He's dunked, wore the clothing, washed his hands and feet. They bring him the tamid, the first sacrifice of the day. When we slaughter an animal, ordinarily we slaughter its windpipe and its food pipe. But once you slaughtered the majority, you don't have to keep cutting. But the Kohen Gadol has to slaughter, plus receive the blood. How does he do that? He does the first slice, and someone else grabs the knife from him and continues slicing. Once he's sliced enough that it's a kosher shechita, he hands over the knife to someone else to finish the shechita, and he receives the blood. And then, so that's step one. He has the blood of the morning sacrifice. He sprinkles it on the altar. Next, he takes the Ktores in the morning after the Tamid. He takes the Ktores, he goes into the holy over here. Here he has the altar for the Ktores and the menorah. So he's going to start preparing the lamp to light later on today. He sprinkled the blood. He comes here, and we had a tradition that at this point he should burn the Ktores. After he finished the Ktores, he goes back out and cuts up the animal into limbs and brings it up on the altar. I don't know what was the idea of breaking it up, but that was our tradition, that you do part one of the sacrifice, you stop, you go in and offer the Ktores, you come back out, and you finish off the morning sacrifice. Okay? Next, he's going to dunk a second time. Because after he did the morning sacrifice, what's next? He's going to go into the Holy of Holies for the first time today. Hopefully he won't drop dead when he gets there. So, Kohanim, there were times that they went in, they had a rope around their stomach. In case they dropped dead when they walked in, they could pull them out. Not such a happy Yom Kippur when that happened, right? The Kohen Gadol is now going to switch clothing. What did he do so far? He did the Tamid, the morning sacrifice. He did the Ktores, and he started preparing the wicks. Now, he's going to go into the mikveh a second time. Let's say he's an old man. He's scared of the cold water. So they would prepare hot water to pour in for him. Or they'd have these burning hot pieces of metal they'd put inside, and the waters would warm up a little bit. And he's going to go dunk in the mikveh. Can you guys think about going into a cold mikveh Shabbos morning five times? Again, they spread out a white cloth between him and the nation. He cleanses his hands and feet, gets undressed, goes down to the mikveh, gets dressed with white clothing, solid white now, and he cleanses his hands and feet a second time. The white clothing that he wore would cost 1,800 coins. That was the minimum price. That was the price that the temple gave. He could add to get the finest cloth imported from India. And India says that's where they had the finest cloth, the finest white cloth. They brought him the cow. And the cow would stand right here. And the cow is supposed to be facing the Holy of Holies, but we don't want it facing this way because then its backside is towards the altar and it might decide to defecate. So we have the animal standing this way and its head is facing this way. The Kohen stands behind it and he's facing the Holy of Holies. He puts his two hands on the head of the cow and he says, "Please Hashem, I and my family, we've transgressed this year. It's me, my wife, my family, my kids. We've done sins on purpose. We've done sins rebelliously. We've done sins by mistake. Please forgive us for all that we've done this year." As it says, "Ki vayom hazeh chaper aleichem neter etchem mikol chatotichem lifnei Hashem titaru." Now, remember, what did he say? Please Hashem. Every time he says Hashem's name, he's saying the tetragrammaton. He's saying Hashem's hidden name. And everyone who hears it, you'd have thousands of Jews there, and he would say it out loud. Think of Vidu, you're saying out loud. "Please Hashem, my family and I have done things that are wrong." Everyone that heard him would bow down and say, "Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed," when they heard him say Hashem's hidden name. And based on that, when we recount this, as we do Musaf, we say, the Kohen Gadol, step one, would say Vidui on the cow. He would say, "Hashem, please forgive me." And when he'd say Hashem's name, everyone would bow, and we bow. As we recount the Musaf prayer, that's the first time we bow when we recount this. So the Kohen Gadol first says over the cow, "Hashem, this cow should forgive me and my family." He's going to come back to that cow later, the same cow, and say, "Hashem, please, all the Kohanim transgressed, forgive us with this cow." And so whatever the goat offers atonement for the Jewish people, the cow will give atonement for the Kohen Gadol, his family, and all the Kohanim. And he's going to say over that cow twice a vidui. Now he said vidui for him and his family. He said, "Hashem, please forgive us." And again, when he says Hashem's hidden name, everyone bows and says, "Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam Ve'ed," and we also bow in shul. That's our custom, that we, when we recount it, we bow as we say the people used to bow. Okay, now he goes to the east side of the Azara. He was on this side, he was on the west side. He was standing in the holier part of Nazareth. He goes up here to the northeast. They bring him two goats. The goats look identical. It's an interesting concept. The goat that represents transgression looks identical to the goat that will go into the Holy of Holies. Oh.